In the words of William Shakespeare, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. And the latter is certainly the case for some of the people we're going to be taking a closer look in our latest episode, looking at the history of the Premier League. We're going to be taking a deeper dive into the world of the youngest managers in Premier League history. That's right, having ticked off the oldest managers and players the past few times, it's time to take a look at the other end of the age spectrum, somewhere Chelsea have really made their mark. At the end of this episode, I'll be back to give you more insight into where you can read and hear more data-driven storytelling like this. But first, here's Fresh Faces, the youngest Premier League managers, written by Matt Furness. We don't have to go too far back into the annals of history to find the youngest manager in the history of the Premier League. Following the sacking of Jose Mourinho, Tottenham gave the reins to former midfielder Ryan Mason as caretaker manager for the remaining six matches of the 2020-2021 Premier League season.
It's a massive, massive honour. I love the club. I think the fans, I think everyone associated with the club knows how much this club means to me. I've been associated with the club over 20 years as a player, obviously as a coach as well.
You just have to be prepared and ready for what football can throw at you at times. Obviously, I had the experience of having to retire. There was a lot of difficult moments, but the most important thing was my attitude.
I'm going to do all I can to do the club proud.
On the day of his first game in charge, Mason was just 29 years and 312 days old, breaking the barrier by becoming the first manager in Premier League history to be under 30 years old, and only the second person since the Football League resumed in the 1946-1947 season to manage a top-flight game whilst in their 20s, after Frank Sibley, whose first game was in August 1977 against Aston Villa, also at the age of 29 as Queen's Park Rangers boss. Spurs won Mason's first match in charge 2-1 thanks to goals from Gareth Bale and Son Heung-min, the latter a former teammate of Mason's at the club. In fact, he would name four players in the starting 11 who he played alongside during his own Premier League career, appearing alongside Hugo Lloris 49 times, Eric Dier 44, Toby Alderweireld on 22 occasions, and the South Korean forward 14 times. Mason went on to manage six league games overall for Spurs in this spell, securing four wins, with one coming against the man who would permanently replace him as Spurs manager, as he defeated Nuno Espirito Santo's Wolves' side 2-0. Tottenham scored 14 goals in these six matches, with only the 16 strikes of Manchester City being more over the period that Mason led the Premier League club from the dugout. Before Mason's time in charge, the previous holder of the record for being the youngest Premier League manager took up the reins in rather different fashion. Crystal Palace were rooted to the bottom of the Premier League table when Steve Coppell was moved upstairs to a director of football role at the club, with Italian Attilio Lombardo being given a surprise position of caretaker player manager. A star of Serie A, he was probably best previously known on British shores for one of the greatest skits in Football Italia history, alongside James Richardson.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Gazzetta Football Italia. A lot of fun in today's show because this week we're doing a special feature on the Lambada. Cue music.
James, not the Lambada. Lombardo.
What? Oh, if you like, Ken. I suppose it's an idea. Can you dance?
The former Sampdoria man was in charge for six games, with Thomas Brolin as his assistant, and perhaps more crucially, his translator, as they secured two wins, although with twice as many losses, before Ray Lewington took over for the final three matches of the 1997-1998 season. His first game in charge of the Eagles came in a 3-1 defeat to Aston Villa at Villa Park on March 14, 1998, with Lombardo just 32 years and 67 days old. He was just the second Italian to manage a Premier League game after Gianluca Vialli became the first a month earlier at fellow London club Chelsea, and we will have a bit more about him in a while. Unfortunately, footage from press conferences in 1998 are fairly scarce, so you'll have to accept my readout of his quote here. But upon being appointed, it was clear that Lombardo didn't foresee a long-term role in the position, stating, "I'm looking forward to the challenge, but my intention is not to remain as a player manager. This is a temporary measure, and hopefully we will have a new manager taking over so I can go back to being a player, even if Palace are relegated." In the end, it would be a quickfire experience on British shores. Palace were relegated, and the Italian would leave the club midway through the following season as financial issues began to hamper the club. Our third successive caretaker to start this podcast, but this tale ends a little differently, as when Chris Coleman was handed the role at Fulham in April 2003, the West London side were in danger of dropping out of the Premier League, with just two places between them and the relegation zone. Jean Tigana had just been sacked following a run of three successive defeats without scoring a goal, but in the end, Coleman would help steer them clear of relegation. The Welshman had only announced his retirement as a player 6 months prior to this role, and managed to seal a win in his first game in charge, beating Newcastle United 2-1 at Craven Cottage, aged 32 years and 313 days old. He went on to lose just one of his five games as a caretaker boss in the 2002-2003 season, winning three times, which proved enough to convince Fulham to name him as permanent manager ahead of the 2003-2004 season. Coleman would remain Fulham manager for four more years before his dismissal in April 2007, following a miserable run of just one victory in 15 top-flight games, and he would be replaced by Laurie Sanchez. After this 152-game spell in the competition at Fulham, surprisingly, the former Welsh international has yet to manage in the Premier League again, but he did take charge of Wales and lead them to Euro 2016, their first international finals tournament in 58 years. However, after failing to qualify for the 2018 World Cup, he left the Welsh job in November 2017. Now, finally, a permanent managerial appointment, but one that very much fitted in with the mould of the mid to late 90s checklist to be in charge of Chelsea. It was really quite a simple one. Firstly, have you had a very decent playing career? Secondly, can you still play a bit? And thirdly, are you in your 30s? That's because Gianluca Vialli became the third successive player-manager appointed by Chelsea, following Glenn Hoddle in 1993 and Ruud Gullit in 1996. Vialli would be the youngest of the trio, being just 33 years and 227 days old, on the day of his first game as manager in February 1998. It wasn't the best of starts though, with Chelsea losing 2-0 away to Leicester City, but things were to get better with time. Vialli led Chelsea to victory in the League Cup final and European Cup Winners' Cup in his first 3 months in charge, following up with the 1998 UEFA Super Cup and the 1999-2000 FA Cup. The Super Cup win actually saw Vialli become the youngest coach to win a major UEFA competition at the time, at just 33 years and 308 days old. In the end, Vialli took charge of 94 games in the Premier League for the Blues, with his sacking coming just 5 games into the 2000-2001 campaign. But across this spell as player-manager, Vialli also chipped in with 5 goals and 4 assists in just 1,372 minutes on the pitch. And that's certainly something you would not get from Thomas Tuchel. Thirteen and a half years after Vialli's appointment, Chelsea gave the managerial job to another 33-year-old coach, this time to one with slightly more pedigree as a top-flight coach, however. Andre Villas-Boas had spent only one season in charge of FC Porto, but what a season it was. He won the league title by 20 points whilst remaining undefeated, and followed up with Portuguese Cup and UEFA Europa League success. In winning the latter, he broke Vialli's record as the youngest coach to win a major European competition, aged just 33 years and 213 days old, when they defeated Braga 1-0 in Dublin. His time at Stamford Bridge didn't go so well, lasting only 6 months at the club before being sacked in February 2012 and replaced by caretaker manager Roberto Di Matteo. The Italian went on to win the UEFA Champions League only 3 months later, on the foundations that Villas-Boas built. On the day of his first Premier League game, a disappointing 0-0 draw away at Stoke City, Villas-Boas was aged just 33 years and 301 days old, meaning he is still the fifth youngest to take charge of a Premier League match. Since leaving Chelsea, the Portuguese has led Spurs, Zenit St. Petersburg, Shanghai, SIPG, and Marseille, but has picked up as many trophies since leaving Portugal as the four he did in one single season at Porto. We're going to wrap through the rest of the top 10 in slightly quicker fashion, but it's yet another Chelsea manager that features in this list of the youngest managers in Premier League history, with former Dutch legend Ruud Gullit, the sixth youngest to take charge of a Premier League game. He was only 33 years and 352 days old when he took charge of his first English top-flight game at the Blues, drawing 0-0 with Southampton at the Dell in August 1996. Kevin McDonald is next up on the list, as he took charge of Leicester City in their 2-1 home win over Arsenal in November 1994, just a day after his 34th birthday. In between the tenures of Brian Little and Mark McGee, he was to oversee 4 games for the Foxes, with just 1 win to his name. Scottish manager Alex Neil orchestrated promotion through the Championship playoffs in his first season in charge of Norwich City, but was unable to stop the Canaries from suffering relegation in the 2015-2016 Premier League season. His first game in charge of the club in the top flight was a 3-1 loss to Crystal Palace, but he did become the 8th youngest boss in Premier League history when doing so, aged 34 years and 60 days old. Stuart Pearce is another of the top 10 to be an interim manager when he led Nottingham Forest to a 2-1 victory over Arsenal at the City Ground in December 1996, aged 34 years and 241 days old, following the departure of Frank Clark. Even after this managerial spell, Pearce spent 4 more seasons as a player in the top flight, with 2 years at both West Ham and Manchester City. The former England international had his longest spell as a Premier League boss at Manchester City between March 2005 and May 2007, leading them on 85 occasions in the top flight and averaging a lowly 1.19 points per game. Oh, and even threw David James up front as an emergency striker in one of those games too.
Making a change now, and how about this? Claudio Reyna is going off, Nicky Weaver is going in goal, and now David James adds his considerable physical presence to the Manchester City attack. Borough just can't get it out of their own penalty area. Here's James, who then concedes a foul on Deriva. Wonder how many times he's played up front in training. That's not a bad touch for a big man, is it really? Just got away from him at the last moment.
And finally, Paul Jewell brought Bradford City into the Premier League for the first time ever in 1999, following a successful Division 1 campaign. He went one better the following season, keeping Bradford in the top flight against all odds, thanks to an unexpected final day win at home to Liverpool.
Haller takes it.
A Wetherill's free! Fantastic header! Bradford City lead Liverpool by 1-0.
Well, you won't see a better header today than that. It's a quite magnificent header from Wetherill. Where on earth Liverpool's marking is, I don't know, Mark. But when the ball arrived at me, he had a bit to do, and my God, didn't he do it well.
But back to where it all began in the Premier League briefly, as they ran rampant in their first ever Premier League fixture against Middlesbrough in August 1999, with their former player, aged just 34 years and 313 days old, when he took charge. Jewell would only last one season in the Premier League at the club, following a disagreement with the Bantams' chairman, Geoffrey Richmond, after their remarkable 17th place finish in the 1999-2000 season. So that was Fresh Faces, the youngest Premier League managers, written and researched by Matt Furness, with music from Audio Network. A big thanks to all the places that we were able to get archived sound from, with this podcast being presented and produced by me, Graham Bell. This has been a production for The Analyst, the home of data-driven storytelling, which features great in-depth articles and blogs from across the sporting world, as well as specialized data visualizations, season-long interactive metrics, as well as some tricky quizzes to show off your sporting knowledge to your friends and family. All of this is on theanalyst.com right now, and why not head over to our Twitter and Instagram accounts too? You'll find us on both of them as @OptaAnalyst. In the meantime, though, you can continue to get lost in the reads from The Analyst by subscribing on your preferred podcast application, like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and many others, where we would also love for you to rate and review the show. Of course, if you've enjoyed this look at the youngest managers in Premier League history, then make sure you subscribe for next time so that you don't miss out on our episode featuring the youngest players in Premier League history. And if you prefer your reviews to be looking at a slightly older generation, then we've already got episodes on the oldest managers and the oldest players available for you to listen to. Also, don't forget to check out Stats Out of Context, a new podcast from The Analyst team, which is available in your Reads from The Analyst podcast feed. Join Duncan, Alexander, and I as we dive into the stats that go into the sport that we love. In fact, we're going to play you a little preview at the end of this show, so stick around for that. But for now, it's thanks for listening, and so long from everyone at the Reads from The Analyst. Hello there, and welcome to Stats Out of Context. What is this? Well, it's quite simple, really. We take a single football, maybe some other sports as well from time to time, one of those metrics, and we do a little bit of a deep dive. When was it invented? When did it start being collected? What does it mean? And most importantly, why do people like it? And why do some people not like it? We've got plenty of stories to tell to give you a little bit of context about the stats that go into the sports that we love and know. And here to help assist me in this first episode is Duncan Alexander, co-chief editor of The Analyst. Duncan.
Hello, Graham. How are you?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. And the reason that I use the word assist, it's not just the sort of playful punnery and wordplay that you might expect from this podcast, because we are going to keep it simple this week and look at assists.
That's why you got me on. Keep it simple, but, you know, I'll do my best. But, yeah, assists, the kind of expected goals of the 1990s, in a way, in that I remember when they first, you know, became more publicised, more out there, and people didn't like them, and some people didn't like them, and they were like, what's this? You're killing the game. But actually, if you look at the history of football, assists have clearly and logically been a big part of football for the whole way through. I mean, goals have been in football since the very first day. And someone had to set up those goals. Maybe not as stylishly back then as they do now, but it's certainly something that's always been in the game, yeah.